God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our message for today is picking up the first verse of our epistle reading as St. Paul uses the words, mysteries of God. And most of us do indeed love a mystery. You know, the opportunity to try to figure out who did it. There is something in us that wants to solve a mystery. But once it's solved, is it still a mystery? Once it's solved, is it hard to go back and read a murder mystery book again and again? It almost seems like the mystery of the mystery has been taken out, and it's just not the same. Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, uses this term, mysteries, referring to more than one mystery. And then St. Paul speaks of himself and of other pastors as stewards of these mysteries of God. Stewards basically meaning that of a manager, the one who dispenses. So the mystery still belongs to Christ, still belongs to God, and Paul and other pastors just sort of give it out. Martin Luther helps explain this when he talks about the mysteries of Christ this way. He says, the preacher he calls stewards of the mysteries because they preach Christ, the power and the wisdom of God, in such a way that unless you believe, you cannot understand it. Therefore, a sacrament is a mystery or secret thing which sets forth in words but received by the faith of the heart. So the mystery that St. Paul is presenting before us today is nothing more than the clear gospel message. The message that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. We're in the season of Epiphany, which is making known to all nations who Jesus is. That's why we're picking up this concept of the mystery for today in the season of Epiphany. This is who Jesus is. But here's the problem. Not everyone who looks at the cross of Jesus sees the mystery. Not everyone who opens their Bible sees the mystery. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ brings about the forgiveness of sins through his own death and resurrection. So why would people say that this is a mystery? Because St. Paul, as he explains this earlier in his book, the natural person does not accept the things of God. They are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So here's the mystery. People can look at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they don't see a God. They don't see redemption. They don't see the forgiveness of sin. Other people can look at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and say, not only am I seeing these things, but there's my life. My life here and now and my life for eternity. Along with the gospel, Luther notes and adds a little bit more to this term mystery. Adds the sacraments as part of this mystery. Why not? The sacraments are indeed God's promise. Connected through his word, we have Christ, we have the forgiveness of sin. That gospel comes to us in forms of water, bread, and wine, and comes to us again in a mysterious way. The sacraments are a mystery. Because it is the power of God. It is the gospel. In baptism, we have plain water that now cleanses us with sin. Not with soap, but with the promise and the command of God. In the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper, we have bread and wine. Again, by the power and command of God, we now have the body and blood of Christ. This is truly a mystery. Why? Because many doubt the power and efficacy of these things. There are even Christians who deny that baptism is anything more than just plain water. They put the focus upon the individual confession of the faith instead of what Christ has done for them through his promises. So in one essence, they take the mystery out of baptism. Likewise, in the Lord's Supper or the Eucharist, some Christians want to take the mystery out of the sacrament by denying that bread and wine are truly the body and blood of Christ, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Again, their focus is on remembering Christ instead of Christ's remembrance of them and giving himself for the communicant. These teachings of Scripture are considered a mystery because they are part of the gospel of Christ, and it is beyond human understanding, for they must be received by faith, as Scripture reminds us. Lutherans describe this in the Augsburg Confession, Article 5, when it says, "To obtain such faith, God instituted the office of preaching, the giving of the gospel, and the sacraments. Through these, as through means, he gives the Holy Spirit, who produces faith when and where he wills, in those who hear the gospel. It teaches that we have a gracious God, not through our merit, but through Christ's merit, when we so believe. Condemned are the Anabaptists and others, who teach that we obtain the Holy Spirit without the external word of the gospel, through our own preparations, thoughts, and works." This is exactly what the mystery is all about. It is about Christ doing the work for you, opposed to you doing the work. But our sinful nature will not give up so easily. We do continue to doubt the mysteries of Christ. And you might be thinking, but Pastor, we're good Lutherans. We keep hearing this message over and over again. How and when would we ever doubt the mysteries of Christ? Well, let me put it this way. We do doubt the mysteries of Christ when we see the imperfections of the stewards handling it. Let's just face it. Pastors are not perfect. We see their imperfections, and our natural mind wants to start to doubt what they're handling. The gospel, baptism, and the Eucharist. Our mind starts going through the motions. Are they really things of God? He's a sinner up there. How can he be handling things of God if he's a sinner? So it does beg the question, why would God, who is perfect, want to communicate his precious word and sacraments through the hands of a sinner? Again, this is a mystery. But like the previous mysteries, we know that this one is also for humans. Besides, what human is perfect except for Christ alone? Christ has no other choice in this matter. He works through means. He works through bread. He works through wine. He works through his word. He works through water. He works through us sinful human beings who are struggling with sin and need his word, water, bread, and wine, the body and blood of Christ, for forgiveness of sins. This is also picked up in the Augsburg Confession, Article 8, when it says, "Although the Christian church is, properly speaking, nothing else than the assembly of all believers and saints, yet in this life many false Christians, hypocrites, and even public sinners remain among the righteous. The sacraments, even though administered by unrighteous priests, are efficacious all the same. For Christ himself indicates that the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat." Bottom line is, you will not find a perfect pastor. You will not find a perfect church. You will find the church as a place where sinners gather, sinners who need Christ. At the basis of each church should be Christ, that gospel proclaimed in word and sacraments for all of us sinners. So the result is to remove the doubt from you regarding the sacraments and the power and efficacy of the word. The mysteries of God are not enabled because of the pious purity of the pastor, but are in Christ alone. The mysteries are gifts of God, not of human origin, but for human consumption and benefit. The steward is the one who just plainly administers the gifts of God. It's not because there's anything special or holy about me. It is Christ who gives the mystery its power for all people, including for the steward, who needs to receive the same power and grace from Jesus Christ. So we put our trust in Christ, who uses the mysteries to guide us. Remember, we are his sheep. As our stained glass visually presents Christ as the good shepherd who leads and feeds us with his mysteries, his words, and his sacraments, Christ also calls pastors, the under-shepherds, so to speak, who administers his mysteries for the behalf of all the sheep. This is also designated by God, who gives us this faith and trust to keep us in this relationship for all time and eternity. These mysteries do need to remain mysteries, for we should not try to reason our understanding upon them, for they actually embody Christ for your benefit. To know the mysteries of God means to know Christ, to know that Christ became a man and that Jesus' suffering and death takes away our sin. That the kingdom of God isn't an earthly kingdom, but a kingdom of grace and forgiveness. Those who have been taught by the Holy Spirit will understand that the parables are about Jesus and how our Lord works through his word. Those who refuse to believe in Christ and don't want Jesus as their Savior will not get it. They won't understand. The stories won't make sense. They might scourge some simple meanings out of the parable and out of Scripture, but they won't be right, because it isn't about our Lord and his cross and the forgiveness of sin. Jesus brings out similar words when he says, "For to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it has been given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Everyone knows why Jesus told parables, right? They were simple stories that carried some deeper meaning. He used simple examples so that people could understand what he was talking about, except that's not right at all. Jesus himself explains that he tells parables so that those who have been given to know the mysteries will understand, and those who haven't won't. And here's the little kicker. Of course, the disciples, they had to ask Jesus about the parables and what they meant. So, were they in or were they out? It's a reminder of all of us that though we're Christians, our sinful nature refuses to get it. Therefore, we struggle with knowing the Lord and yet not understanding. We believe, but we have unbelief. So our Lord puts in us his church so that we may be guided by these mysteries. So we gather here today to hear that word of God, to receive the sacrament. Even though there are going to be some times where we might just scratch our head and saying, "Lord, I don't get it." But we're here anyway, because we need that grace. We need the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. and he gives it to us, saving us by water, word, his body, his blood, so that you will go and bear much fruit by his word and by his grace. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.